along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. Well, we're going to go straight to the Gaelic grounds now, where Tommy Rooney is there for us at the Munster Hurling Final between Cork and Limerick.
Limerick welcome Cork to the Gaelic grounds today for the 2025 Munster Senior Hurling Championship Final, and throw-in is at 6pm. 3 weeks on from Limerick giving Cork a right clipping in the Munster round robin, the sides meet again on a breezy and overcast afternoon in the same venue. There will be a strong wind favouring the sides shooting into the Thomond End. Limerick are of course chasing their 7th Munster Senior Hurling title in a row, Cork their first since 2018. Pat Ryan's side did however end Limerick's quest for 5 All-Ireland titles in a row last summer, beating them in Croke Park in the All-Ireland semi-final, having already taken care of them in the round robin at Páirc Uí Chaoimh earlier that summer. 16 points though was the difference when the two sides met last month, as Limerick ripped them apart. The injury problems have not cleared up for Pat Ryan since then. Declan Dalton and Jeremy Ellerick have been ruled out, while Niall O'Leary and their captain Rob Downey are only fit enough to be named on the bench. Damien Cahalan starts at cornerback, with Cormac O'Brien joining the half-back line and Jermaine Healy starting in attack. John Kiley's record in finals as Limerick manager is sensational. He's won every single one of them, and the strength and depth of his Limerick side in 2025 is illustrated best by their bench. They have a full hand to play with. Aidan O'Connor starts in place of Shane O'Brien, and that's the only change from the side that backed Cork a few weeks back. The 2025 Munster Senior Hurling Championship Final between Limerick and Cork throws in at 6pm in the Gaelic grounds.
Well, we've just gone past 6pm and Cork are leading in the Gaelic grounds. There's a bit of blood and thunder out there at the moment. Good start from Cork. We shouldn't be beaten like we were the last day, just judging on the performance at the moment. But time will tell. Great play from Dermot Healy there, kicking it in to the full forward line. The Limerick backs get it, but look, we'll keep in touch firmly with the Gaelic grounds. A brilliant Cork play at the moment. It's a bit all over the place, but typical Munster final day. Earlier in the week, I had the pleasure of catching up with Tip legend Bonner Marr. He was speaking to me with thanks to Electric Ireland. We talked about the game.
Hey Dan, how are you on?
I'm not too bad. How are you keeping?
Not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. I'm tipping away.
Tipping is right. How's it been treating you anyway?
It's great to kind of have a bit of time back, and I'm kind of kept busy doing a bit of training. It's good to get back involved with the club, and you kind of have a bit more free time to go off for your weekends and play a bit of golf, and it's nice. I'm enjoying it, doing a bit of coaching as well, so it's all good.
There is the big question: are Tip back?
Well, look, it's like we always knew there was good potential in the group. The last couple of years, there's been, the under-20s have been coming strong, minors have been coming strong. So it's great to see that the green roots are beginning to pop up. And look, there's a good older group there as well, of leaders, the likes of Rona Matter and Jake Morris and these boys. They've really stepped up, and I think Tip are just coming at the right time to get a good mix of players together. So as far as I'm concerned, it's good to see Tip back in a Lee McCarthy series.
What did you make of the under 20 final?
Yeah, no, it was interesting. It's from a Tip point of view, it's always nice to go down to Kilkenny and come out with results, especially in All-Ireland final down there. The first half was probably a little bit cagey. I know there was a bit of a breeze in that down there, but it was great to see it was kind of driving on in the second half and finishing out strong.
Paddy McCormack as well, he was incredible on the day, that's for sure.
Yeah, Paddy is a special talent, to be fair to him. Great player, he's definitely has a good future ahead of him.
How high do you think the ceiling is for Darren McCarthy? There's been so much spoke about him already, and he's only 19.
Darren is in fairness, he's a special talent, he was in with us last year and stuff like that, and just to see him in the gym at 18 years of age and he trying to keep into us with the weight we were lifting, I think he has a really good attitude, and I think he's a really bright future ahead of him. He's obviously a great talent, and what we've seen from him so far this year, and we'll see more of him as the year progresses.
Do you think Tip have a serious manager now in Brendan Cummins?
Yeah, look. I think Brendan is doing a serious job with the under-20s, and so is James Woodlock as well, doing a great job with the minors as well. So it's great to have these past players as well, kind of getting involved early, because they've all been there, they've all went through them age groups, so there's. There's good management structures put in place at the underage level coming up along in TIP, which is great. And look, it's beginning to feed into the senior setup as well, seeing these players coming up through the pipeline.
Having played them, was it always destined that Cummins would go into management?
Possibly, like Brendan was, he's always been a switched on guy, and like, look, you just have to look at his achievements personally and what he's done for Tipperary. Like, he always had the potential to go on and be a serious manager. Like, to be fair to him,
Noan McGrath, is he going to be a leader there for that TIP team out on the pitch at the moment? Maybe if he's not even starting, but having that guy in the dressing room as well.
Sure, like, you know, you talk about Noel McGrath, like, he's a generational player, to be fair, like, and he's longevity in the game and what he brings, and like, from setbacks to bounce backs as well from Noel, like, he's an inspirational lad, and like, any under 20 coming into a panel to be involved and to be around that culture of how Noel conducts himself is, like, that's a serious asset and resource to have within a group. And like, no more than when we came in 2010, like, you had the likes of Lara and you had Owen Kelly and these boys to guide you along, and I've no doubt Noel is doing the same thing. And like, even from a younger player's perspective, to come in and be sitting in the room beside Noel and all he's achieved and all he has done with both club and county, like, it's, so it is a great buzz, I'd imagine, because it was for me when I was in, sitting beside Noel and our Owen and Larry and that, like. So I think he's a huge asset to have in there, and look, he's a huge leader.
How have you found it watching on from the coach at home as opposed to being involved? Is it easy or hard?
Yeah, no, look, I found it tough. Like, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're in and out of the pockets of these guys for the last number of years, and, you know, like, Munster Championship time is a special time, especially for a hurler, like, and to be missed, like, it's hard to kind of, it'll be hard to get back that buzz of, you know, getting your guard escort in and stuff like that. And, you know, I haven't actually gone to a game yet. I've been watching the games at home because I think I'd be too involved if I was there. I'd be up out of the seat, and I'd be walking around the place and everything. You know yourself, I'll be playing every puck of the ball with the boys, you know, so it's probably a good thing that I am watching it from at home. But well, look, to detach for me has been kind of fairly easy, because, you know, like, last year I probably knew it was my last year, so I had that my mind made up, and I was preparing myself for it. But look, it's like anything else, when it comes to an end, you find something else and you go at something else, and I'm currently doing a bit of coaching and stuff like that, and then doing a good bit of training, and then I'm back hurling away with my club. So look, you buy time to fill the gaps, but you definitely do miss it, and you miss the crack, and you miss the boys, and you probably don't miss the nights in, you know, in December running around in the rain. You probably don't miss that as much, but you do miss the kind of the giddiness of getting ready for Championship, and like they're getting ready, gearing themselves for the Lee McCarthy stage as well. Like, it's, you know, it's, there's something special about those days.
Did you appreciate it at the time, say, the Garda escorts going in and going into Croker? Were you kind of like, oh, this is class, or is it just, it is what it is?
Yeah, well, kind of back then you probably would have just, it is what it is. You were probably a slightly bit younger, and you were kind of just, you know, you took it in a small bit. But looking back at it now, it was crazy times, like, you know, and like my last couple of bus journeys in, I suppose, last year, I would have really kind of soaked it in, and kind of, I would have been a bit engaged in the fans and just seeing their reactions. Whereas before that, I would have been just kind of ice cold in the job I was going doing. But I suppose the last couple of years, I would have had that comfort that I could, you know, I could kind of soak it in and kind of appreciate the latter side of it.
How far do you think the SIP team can go this year?
Look, I think they're a very competitive team. I think, like, the way hurling is at the moment, and we've seen it in both championships, Leinster and Munster, that any given Sunday, anything can happen. Like, you just look at Clare, like, Clare sitting home now, like, out of the All-Ireland series, and they're the current All-Ireland champions. So, like, TIP will have a good lash at no matter who they meet, like, so. And like, if they get a bit of momentum going and they get a win under the belt, maybe, and obviously in the preliminaries, but and hopefully get into the quarterfinals, if they can get another win under the belt, like, who knows where they'd end up.
Are you in favour or against the format changing?
In what regard?
Yeah. Regard to Munster, say Waterford gone, the All-Ireland champions are gone in May.
Yeah, it's a hot debate, like, and I can fully understand, like counties are given and players are given so much of their time to be gone so early, like, and I fully understand that. But the other side of it is, if you look at the Munster Championship and the Leinster Championship this year, like, it was coming down to the last day of the championship to see who was actually going through and what way tables were. So, like, it really ignites the championship and it gives that kind of bit of, so there is a bit of fire and brimstone because, like, as I said, results can go your way or they can go, like, some things can be outside of your control and on where you'll end up. So, like, that really kind of, I think, adds to the whole special feeling around the Munster and Leinster Championship at the moment. Like, if with the three teams, like, it really leaves it open that you really have to go hard at your, you know, early on in the championship, that you can't just kind of coast or through the season, that you have to perform in Munster and Leinster or else you could be gone, like, you know. So, like, it adds that little bit of fire to it, and I'm kind of on the fence because, like, I do fully understand if you're back training and you've got a good block of work done, to be gone this early is tough. But so, like, we want a game that is competitive and we want a game that, I suppose, puts teams on the edge, and the setup of the current championship does that, you know.
How do you see the Munster final go on Saturday?
Look, I'm actually really looking forward to the game. I think it should be a ding dong battle. Like, I'm hoping there'll be, like, a response from Cork from the last day. Like, I think Cork would be very disappointed with the show on the last day against Limerick. So I'm looking forward to a ding dong battle. Two teams going at each other. Like, it's going to be a real Munster final, hopefully, and we get fire and brimstone through into it, and it's going to be one for the ages that, you know, neutrals can look in and say, like, wow, what a match, do you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. The way it'll go is, like, it's hard to know. I on the scale of things and on the previous kind of showing, you think Limerick will probably do it by a few points, but to be honest, I'm expecting a bounce back from Cork, and Cork will be targeting to go hard at this. So it'll be an interesting game. I imagine it'll be close, but, you know, sometimes these games can take a life of their own as well, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Much has been made of the ticket price in €40 for the terrace, €50 for a stands. What's your own take on it?
It's. I'll be looking at it from a home, so it's not going to really concern me. Look, my own opinion on it, it's asking an awful lot of a supporter, I suppose, to who's following the round robin to try and get to go to every game to, you know, for the Munster final to be expensive. But I suppose, I don't know, the costing of running a game and stuff like that, there's always expenses and hidden expenses you don't really hear about either. So, like, you know, it probably is justified in a way too. So it's really hard to comment on it, you know.
Well, they can't give them away in Leinster anyway. What way do you think that one will go between Kenny and Galway?
Look, it's hard to know. Like, it's going to be interesting to see where both of them are at. Do you know, are they peaking for later on in the year? Look, it'll be an interesting game. Like, I'm looking forward to see where Galway are at. Do you know, they've pulled a few performances together, like, to really see where they're at, and it's going to be interesting to see where Kilkenny are at as well. Like, you know, so it's like it's hard to call it. Like, there's usually a good battle between the two of them, especially Leinster final, and look, that's all you're kind of hoping for, is that, you know, the two teams do go hard at it. Like, you'd probably be thinking maybe on the run of things Kilkenny will be a little bit ahead, but it's hard to know.
Is that part of the problem of the format? Maybe it was kind of hit even on about earlier that Kilkenny's and Galway's of the world don't have to peak till coming into June now, whereas the Munster lads, they have to peak in April. Do you think that could be a bit of an issue as well?
Well, like, I suppose it's really up for debate. Like, you know, it's like each panel and each team will approach it differently themselves. Like, but still, like, in Leinster's competitive enough, like, Wexford are gone as well. Like, Dublin are in. Like, you know, like, there still is a possibility of a few of the teams, like, not making it through depending on results. Like, so, like, I wouldn't really. I wouldn't really say that they're peaking for later on in the year. Like, you still have to do enough because you can get caught on the hop, and that's just the way it is. But, like, I suppose, like, the competitiveness in Leinster is to a high standard as well, because each one of them will feel that they can pip each other on the day. Like, you know, the likes of Wexford and Dublin, like, would fancy their chances against Boc Galway and Kilkenny. Like, so you can't really rest on your laurels either. Like, they have to be targets in that championship as well, because, like, you know, a result or two go against you, like, it can turn into a bad year fairly quick.
Mm-hmm. What have you made of Kildare's run in the Joe McDonagh?
Yeah, look, it's great to see, these kind of things are great to hear, it's obviously something that Kildare are targeting, they're going after, the hurling, they're trying to get the hurling going in Kildare, which is great to see. And look, it's always nice to see some of the perceived lesser counties putting in an effort and obviously seeing results. So it's good to see, and long may it continue. It's great to see that some of these kind of teams that are in the Joe McDonagh are pushing to get up to that level, because you want to be at the top level, you want to get to play the higher level teams, the only way you'll do that is by putting processes in place, squads in place that'll get you there, and that comes back down to development at lower levels. And it's important for the GAA that they do get into these counties and try and flourish the game, hurling especially at in those counties, to so we'll see the fruits of it in a couple of years. So I think it's important for the game too to have as many teams as possible pushing to try and get up and get involved in the higher championships.
Kind of, I'm assuming when you get asked often off, who's the best player you ever played with?
Best player I ever played with? I suppose... It's not a straightforward question, because there's been so many good players for different reasons over the years. I suppose Owen Kelly is probably, around that period, Owen and Larry were probably up there with the best I've played with. But through the years, Bubbles, I played with John O'Neill, was a minor with me, corner forward. He was probably one of the best sticks men I had ever seen. There's so many over a period. It'd be different if it was only a period of a year or two, but when you're spanning over, I suppose, 18 years of hurling, there's a good few boys that do stick out. The likes of Owen and Larry are definitely up there. Bubbles, what you could do with a hurley, it was unbelievable. Leadership from Pádraic Maher back there and in our half back line for them years. You could pick out many of them.
Yeah, it was some team, all right. All said and done at the end of the year, who do you think's lifting Liam McCarthy?
Look, it's hard to look past Limerick at the moment. They are the informed team. The way they did their business against Cork, I suppose, in the Munster Championship, it just laid down the foundations to what potential they have when they go at it. They're just a little bit ahead of the whole pack, but there is a chasing pack, and they are catching up with them. The likes of Cork, so they're going to be pushing there thereabouts. So I'd say the Munster final is either or, and the Munster final are going to be thereabouts, I'd say, by the end of the year.
Coming up against that Limerick team, who's impressed you the most from the last few years?
I've been a forward myself, I suppose, and that I suppose it would probably be Keane Lynch, just how he orchestrates the orchestra there, how he's able to pull the strings and make the magic happen. He definitely allows the boys around him to kind of really flurry. He does an awful lot of unselfish stuff. His skill level and his condition and is next to none as well. But there's so many in that Limerick team that you could pick out for different reasons that are at such a high level. I'd put Keane up there with being, he's just the commander in chief for them. Where he goes, Limerick follow, in games of hurling especially, you have moments, that can turn a game, and he's just one of those players that I see that, he has that sparkle that he can flick up a ball that's in a ruck out of nowhere and it's offloaded and it's in the back of the net. He just has that kind of skill level and bit of sprinkle of magic,
Are you going to go into punditry now?
No, I don't think so. No, I wouldn't say so. I'm liking the coaching, to be honest with you. I like that kind of aspect of things, putting a style of play together and putting training sessions around that style of play and then bringing it to games and seeing it happening is get enjoyment out of that, and just seeing players reaching their potential. So I like that side of things. So I'm definitely enjoying that aspect of retirement. I'm involved with a club team there at the moment, so I'm really enjoying that.
Is that at senior level?
Yeah, they'd be senior B in Offaly there, yeah. So it's Carrick Riverstown. So look, they're a lovely bunch of guys, and it's kind of like it's a nice mix. There's a few older guys and a few younger guys, and just really good attitude, and they're kind of buying into what we're saying, and it's just nice to see the work that they're putting in kind of being reflected in what they're doing on the field in the game days as well. So like, I'm just enjoying that aspect of it.
Is there anything that surprised you about coaching?
I suppose it's the work that goes on around it. Like, you know, like as a player, you turn up and there's bollards out there and you're kind of told to go here and do this. So like, but you know, from the coaching side of things, I would have never realised that, like, I wouldn't realise the effort that goes in between planning sessions and, you know, like laying out your blocks going into championship or laying out your blocks going into league and what you're kind of trying to go after in those blocks, and then I suppose formulating your training sessions around what you're trying to achieve. Just like from a player's point of view, you never kind of really dive into that side of it. You turn up for training, you get togged out, you go out and you do what you're told, and you follow it to a certain extent. But just from that side of it, like having the plan and kind of, I suppose, put processes in play of how you play and stuff like that, and then being able to imitate that through sessions and then seeing it kind of come through in games, like that's a very interesting side.
That's it for me. Thanks so much, Steve. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Cheers, Patrick.
That was the great Bonner Maher there in conversation with him, with thanks to Electric Ireland. Latest from the Gaelic grounds, Limerick 1-5 to Cork's 8 points. So Limerick has just got another point, so they're currently leading by 1 point at the moment. Cork, with the wind in this half, probably need to take advantage a small bit more, but a hugely improved performance from the team considering the last day out in the Gaelic grounds. I was going to say, and I think a win for Cork today, to be honest, would be to keep it in between 3 or 4 points of Limerick, and hopefully we get him in Croke Park later on in the year. To soccer now, during the week, your very own Roy O'Hagan caught up with Paul Higgins of Ringmahon Rangers to talk about the small matter of Kevin Keller's transfer from Liverpool to Brentford.
Hi, Paul. First off, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Yeah, no matter what.
Before we get on to, I suppose, the $3 million elephant in the room, can you talk to us a little bit about Cuivín and how he started the club, and I suppose when you knew he was going to be something special?
Yeah, I suppose he started when he was six. His brother, Fiacra, would have been here first, up to under-12s, before he went to Avondale. So Cuivín was here then as well. So, yeah, Cuivín started when he was six, and under the guidance of Eddie Harrington and David O'Donoghue at the time. So they would have brought him through up right up to under-11s, and then Eddie Harrington and Kevin O'Regan, Rob O'Leary, Rob O'Leary, and then one more, Hayes, Quilty Hayes. Mm. So they would have been the lads there that would have nurtured him through, but Eddie then took over kind of under-11s and 12s, so look, Eddie had a huge part to play at him.
And he was a brilliant striker, I believe, was he?
Yeah, look, he stood out because he had long blonde hair, and look, he could score goals. He was going to go to the Kendi Cup as a striker until the keeper here decided he didn't want to be in goal anymore. So I think Eddie got a phone call from Quivín's dad, Ray, and said, would you try Cuivín? And everyone was like, oh, no, hopefully not. Like, he's going to the Kendi Cup.
Yeah.
That's what you'll be thinking. He might get a move thinged in as a striker because he was that good up front. Like. So
you can see that as well with the way he plays. Like, he's so calm with the ball in his feet. Like,
yeah, look, it's a huge part of a goalkeeper's game. No, they kind of he'd always say his idol was a man from Manuel Neuer, and you can see why the way he is with his feet. So look, it stood him big time.
So Cuivín never played in goal before that, no?
No, that was the first time under 13s at the time, Kendi Cup. Mm. So he went in goal and he got lobbed in his first game against Springfield.
So why did he keep going back? So if he was such a good striker, like, you know.
I think after the first game, I think everyone kind of took a step back and said, look, this kid has a bit of potential.
Mm.
And within 3 or 4 weeks, he was called up to the Cork Kendi Cup squad again as a goalkeeper. But yeah, Stephen Birmingham at the time.
Mm. So you're saying then, like, you think that he's got potential to go to England as a striker. Like, did you think that immediately as a goalkeeper?
I suppose as a goalkeeper, like, we were talking to Eddie, I would have went to the few games, but Eddie would have said, she's just by as good as a goalkeeper, like. And look, before we know it, he was named in the Kendi Cup squad as a goalkeeper. He got international assessments out of that. And before you know it, he was in the under-16 Irish team. So like it was whirlwind 18 months from him, really. Like.
I think is it 10 years ago he moved to Liverpool?
10 years ago, May, no. Just over 10 years ago. He played his last hit game here, under-16s league. He won a league against College Corinthians in the last minute.
Were other teams looking at him, or was it always Liverpool?
No, it was... there was lots of teams. There was Villa, United, Fulham, Blackburn. He would have been at Villa quite a few times.
Yeah.
If you were asking us 10 years ago, we would have said he would have been going to Villa. I think they kind of were yes or no. And Liverpool came in and I think that was the rest of his history. Then he just said, look, I'm going to go to Liverpool.
So what was it about Liverpool that kind of made him swing that way? So?
I suppose, look, Liverpool are probably one of the biggest clubs in the world at the time. They were planning on building their own training facility, and look, I think he made a good match, and the goalkeeping coach over, he probably gave him an idea of what he could do with him.
And like the way he climbed the ranks has just been astronomical. Like.
Yeah, because like he went over as a little boy, and if you look at him now in stature and size, everything, he's huge. Look, his rise has been phenomenal from 17s, 18s, 21s, all right up to his first game against the NK Dons in the League Cup. I suppose if you look at him now and look at him back then, even the difference is massive. Like.
And you can see how much the kids love him as well.
Yeah, look, it's not only in Ring Mahoney, I suppose it's all over Cork and probably all in now. Kids look up to him, they idolise him, and you know, fair play to him and fair play to his family as well, because it's just a measure of the young fella. Like, I know his mum, Jackie, she's very quiet and She'd be delighted the way he's come out, in fairness. Man, there's never nothing in the papers about Cuivín. It's only all good, like, to be fair.
I remember seeing him on the Late Late Tie Show a couple of years ago, and the little kids just, like, wide-eyed looking
at him. Yeah, I remember watching my own kids. He's a good lad, and there's no other stuff with him. He just wants to play football, and he wants to get better, and hopefully progress his career even more.
To see him win Champions League medals, though, and Premier League medals, must be beyond your wildest dreams.
Look, I suppose we're like every other club in the country. We've coaches down here on the ground, and look, our club would be nothing without coaches. These are the people doing the work. I'm chairman, but like, there's 60, 70 coaches here every week, and the amount of hours they give for free is unbelievable. We wouldn't be able to operate as a club without them. And look, I suppose, especially like Eddie, Kevin, all the boys that worked with them, they must get the biggest bunks overall, because we're club men getting it. Imagine how they feel. They coached them, they helped them along the way. So like, they deserve a massive pat on the back on all this. Like.
Was I reading during the week with Sean Fitzgerald insisting on the 20% sell-on clause, was it?
No, to be fair, no. The sell-on, at the time I was treasurer, so there was three of us involved in it. So Sean would have played a part in it. Conor Brett would have been chairman, he would have been a part of it. And myself. So we were bunking emails all through. There was no one person. Do you know what? At the time, Liverpool were only willing to give 5 and 10%, and we kind of bargained for the 20. And I suppose our bargaining tool back was this would only come to fruition if he was successful.
Yeah. So you obviously made the wise choice.
And we did. But you know what? I suppose what a lot of people wouldn't realise is, like, there's been a lot of players have gone from Ring Mahon over the years. So, like, yeah, we struck the jackpot with Cuivín, but, like, we've lost out on many a player too. Like, we had Alan Brown, who done 10, 11 years with Preston. We were having a sell-on clause in him, and Alan went on a free in the end. Look, and that's just the look of it. Where we had Garrod over in England, he would have came home early. We had Adam O'Reilly over, he came home early. Eric Reams over, he came home early. You've Cahill over now with Newcastle, he went via Cork City. You've Jaden with Benfica, you have Franco with Benfica. So like, this is the one that we've done well out of, and there's probably still a few going with the likes of Jaden and Cahill and Franco. But look, you're just delighted to see the kids over there, and look, they're all men now, but they're flying, in fairness to them.
You mentioned all the players that have gone on to higher levels. I mean, like, you're obviously getting a reputation as the club to go to if you want to progress your career.
Look, yeah, and look, again, I go back to it, it's the coaches here, like, they bring them in. A fella comes from the outside, let's say, they're treated as their own, and that's from under 7 up to senior. Like, if you go through our senior team, there's boys from the outside, they come in and they're like, I would love it if I came here 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we fellas come there in their 30s and they're like, why didn't I come years ago? I didn't realise how much of a close-knit club we are. And we are, from our juniors to the seniors. Like, we play a cup final there in the juniors, and there's a few lads there, they'd be going on watching, like, Kaka there, no, he'd be down watching a junior game, and he'd be knowing all the players off my heart, and same with vice versa with the juniors, like Jordan, Key and all of them, they'd all be out there shouting and roaring and going, like, it's just a family club, like.
And we're down in Ring Mahon at the moment, the facilities here are incredible. Can you talk to us about the progression the club has made over the last couple of years?
Yeah, look, I suppose we went from one pitch, and now we have two, and we've a big clubhouse, we have a gym, we built an extension for girls there only, because the girls has gone massive. We have a 7-a-side, a 9-a-side. Astros, full gym kitted out. And look, the place is looking fabulous. We're getting new floodlights on the main pitch now next week. Not out of Quivine's money. That was done through the hard work of our lad that does all the grants for us, Tony O'Donnell. So, and we get various grants off City Council and the government grants. So, look, we're always looking to progress down here.
Has it been hard to keep up with the pace of the progress and the expansion of the club?
Yeah, I suppose, look, it has. And again, it goes back to, like, it's... I'm at the helm now, but it's to the people before me. Dave would have brought it to a next level. I would have brought it to a level. And it's always, you'll have to go back to your roots. It's the coaches, the volunteers, the players. Everyone buys into it and everyone wants the best for everyone down here. And that's what we're about, like.
And you mentioned the money that Quivine's sale is going to bring. It could be transformative for the club. It will be transformative for the club.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose I'll reiterate what we said in probably every interview that you read. It's going to be there for the next 100 years. It's not just about the here and now. It's about the kids of the next years and the next years and grandkids and the next grandkids. Because, look, there's no doubt it's a substantial amount of money. As much as we don't know the full amount yet, but look, it is. And look, there's another club to benefit out of as well. Rockman will get their share of it as well, because Quivine was up there for a year.
And it's like, it's all going to be invested back into the club, obviously, and expanding facilities here, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's what we always do. I think if you see how we have expanded the club, it will be always through the government grants, as you say, and then the player sales thing, and any money we got back, we invest back in. So, like, that's the route we'll be going down, yeah.
I'd imagine you're not going to be in any rush, though. It's got to be all thought out carefully. And
No, we won't. We won't be in any rush. We don't even know when we're going to get the money in, to be honest. We're not really too pushed. We know it's there. It'll come. We won't be knocking at Liverpool's door in the morning asking if we let them take the due course, and they'll come to us and we'll deal with them when we get it. But no, we'll be prudent with the money. We'll do it right. That's all we can say.
Getting keepers, I suppose, is always the hard part of any club. I don't think you've that problem now anymore, do you?
No, and you know what, we're blessed. We've a few fantastic keepers coming up, and like, I suppose Eric would have set the trend a couple of years ago. He went to Leeds that time. Then we Quivine, and we've a couple of good boys out there now, like Alex O'Connor's and my own young fellas in goal, and there's another couple there. There's a couple of good goalkeepers coming through, to be fair. But like, it's great to see Eric back at the club as well, because the kids of the club know that Eric played in England, and you know what, he's one that they look up to as well, to be fair.
Yeah, there's plenty of role models around the club, as you were mentioning, like.
Yeah, the role models are all over the place. And look, that's our senior team. They kind of, I suppose, like a lot of the senior league teams, don't they? They're like semi-professional. Like, they're down here. The kids watch them train. They watch them going to matches. We could get 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 at matches. And they're looking up to the senior players. They're bringing it back out onto their games then.
Have you spoken to Quivine this week?
No. He's a hard man to contact. Look, he's a busy man. I suppose it's very hard for him to get down here. He probably only gets home for a couple of days, and he's trying in and out back. You know, he's his own life as well.
He's probably mobbed wherever he goes now these days, isn't he?
Yeah.
Especially down here.
Yeah, I think you hear most people, they meet him in the airports, and that's flying from one place to the other. So, like, no, he's a busy schedule. And he does pop in the odd time, no, to be fair. But, look, he's his own life to live now as well, and he doesn't have much time off at Liverpool. He might get a bit more time off at Brentford, though, because they might be finished earlier. But no, look, we just wish him the best of luck.
I'd imagine you're going to see a fair few Brentford jerseys around Ringman, so.
Yeah, I was only here the other day, and my own kids said, we'll have to get a Brentford jersey now. So look, we'll hopefully get one for the clubhouse and join the Liverpool one that's out there. And look, it'd be great for him. I can't wait to watch him in the Premier League every week. Because I believe he'll get better.
Yeah, because everyone was saying that he deserves to be number one somewhere. He's good enough to be number one somewhere. And we all saw that when he played for Liverpool.
Yeah, look, no matter what he does in for the rest of his career, he still plays 67 times with Liverpool, one of the biggest clubs in the world. I'm sure he'll play a lot more at Brentford. I think he'll be number one. He'll excel more. He's going to be Irish number one in the World Cup qualifier campaign in September. So, he's a bright future ahead of him still. He's only 26. Who knows where he goes if he has a good season or two at Brentford.
And the Ringman name has gone worldwide. I saw you being interviewed in the New York Times and everything this week. Must be a little bit surreal, the attention on the club.
Yeah, the New York Times, biggest paper in the world, and Sean done his interview there. I suppose there's been interviews every couple of minutes, and look, it's brilliant. It is brilliant, but I suppose it's something we're not used to. I suppose myself and Sean have been sharing duties there. I would have thought if Eddie would have done a few, but Eddie had no interest. He thought my story many a time before, but look, we always try to get it out there, and look, Eddie is the one that courts him. He's the driver behind it. We're only the custodians of the club now to answer the questions.
Paul, thanks, buddy.
No matter, thanks.
Yeah, that was Roy there talking to Paul from Ringman Rangers. The tongue twister there going on in the excitement of the Munster final as Cork are in the lead. It's currently Limerick 110 to Cork 114 as Shane Barrett there grabbing a goal back for the Rebels. And we're just about to hit the halftime mark as well. We'll be back after the break with hopefully a word from Tommy Rooney, who was there at the Gaelic Grounds. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 20 minutes around this stage. And there's massive drama in the Gaelic Grounds on the pitch just at the halftime mark. A bit of a passion, a kerfuffle, I don't know what you want to call it in J terms now, being showed by both sets of management. Teams out on the pitch, it's fair to say. Pat Ryan, fairly animated, sticking up for his Rebels. I think trying to have a word with the referee, and John Kiley tried to intercept him. It's all part of the game, but highly enjoyable and highly entertaining. We're in for a spicy second half. Now the thing's a bit calmer. Last night I attended the press conference where Republic of Ireland boss Hamir Hallgrimsson, following a 1-1 draw with Senegal in their international friendly in the Aviva.
Hi, Hamer. What areas of the performance were you most satisfied with?
I think our defensive, collective defence was good. We must recognise that this is a world-class team, unbeaten in 20 to 23 games now, number 19 on the FIFA ranking. And we had times when we were defending without the ball, we made them look quite average. But mostly happy with they didn't create a lot of goal-scoring chances. Kui made one or two good saves. But apart from that, I don't think he needed to do much this game. And that's pleasing to be able to play against such a strong attacking team with so much individual quality and not concede a lot of goal-scoring chances.
Is that defensive shape an area where you feel you've made the most progress since you took over?
And I think we needed to start on this working from a shape that is now actually look quite good. There's still a few areas, and we talked about, can we do this a little bit quicker? You know, all the movements within this structure, can we do it quicker? Because this team opposes threat in behind and in between players, and we didn't give them much space once they played inside.
Casey McAteer, first start, first goal. You've got a few options in that role on the right-hand side now. What are his attributes compared to the players he's competing with?
Well, if you've watched Casey, he has gotten a run for Leicester in the end of the season. So you can see his progress in his club, and he brought that now into the national team. That's always the answer you would like to have when you try out new players. I think it was his first start.
Yeah.
For Ireland, so a really good first start for him. He is a confident player on the ball. He has speed, good dribbling technique, and if we can isolate him and him going 1v1, I think that is his strength. And he's just a clever footballer, good football brain, knows where to pass the ball, how to pass the ball, etc.
Hamer, you spoke when you took over about the low levels of confidence in the squad. How do you assess where they are now ahead of September?
I think it's growing. I think the decisions at this level need to be quick. You need to be quick deciding what to do, and you need to act quickly. If you're too late, you're always punished at this level. So what I was saying about defence, being in structure, closing spaces, these things need to happen quicker. And once we repeat the same things again and again, it just gets in their head. And I think we showed against a really good side again that we limited their options of creating anything against us. And let's be honest, we are not one of the best teams in the world, and this is how we need to play against teams that will dominate possession. And we need to wait for our chances and take them when they come. So in this area, I think confidence is growing. And it's a similar setup like we will have in September. So playing the stronger with an apparent team at home, and then flying now away to Luxembourg, like we will play Hungary at home, and then we need to fly to Armenia. So it's a good preparation for September, this window. So that is confidence for me, to be able to play good teams without possessions, without losing shape, and doing that for maybe long periods of time. But again, slightly we have conceded goals from crosses too many times, and in this case we were too passive in the cross. We didn't attack the ball when the cross came, and it has happened in the past before, and that's for me just a slight confidence thing. Can we do it a little bit quicker, more aggressive, with more confidence defending crosses?
Ed?
I just want to ask you about the shape of the team. When you're playing folks on the flanks a lot of space in the middle of the park, is it hard for the midfield players to cover all that while also trying to get it, like you spoke before the match about Will being a good attacking player, but when he did get forward he got some really good chances, but it must be hard to do both for him in that situation.
Yeah, and nobody says it's easy to be in the national team. You know, it needs really hard work. If we are going to win teams like Senegal, it needs really hard work. But in this case, we knew how they play. So they are really aggressive, pressing in the middle. So we wanted to avoid playing too many passes in the centre. So we used the flanks, and I think that was our best chances came when we moved the ball from right to left and isolated the wingers. And really good, clever runs from Jack and Ryan as well. So that's their positions is key to finding the wings. So, yeah.
And out of possession, yeah, it looked like you had sort of, you were setting traps for the team. And then it sort of worked. Sometimes you sort of put pressure on them up the pitch. You must have been pleased with a lot of that play.
Yeah, we're taking positive steps. We, of course, would like to take bigger and bigger steps. We are always demanding as coaches. But things at this, in the national teams, we will need to be patient. These steps are taken, you know, small steps at a time. But this was pleasing, really pleasing, because if we wouldn't have done this as well as we did, we would have suffered against this team. So happy with that.
Yeah.
Eimer, did you have any issue with the equaliser? Did you feel Queeving's long division was affected by
that? A VAR probably would have given it our offside, but we knew that VAR was not in-house, so cannot complain. And I think the referees did a good job today. They had a really good flow in the game, and so I was happy with the referees.
Yeah, that was Irish boss Eimear Hall-Grimson there after Ireland's 1-1 draw with Senegal last night in the Aviva. In the world of tennis, Coco Gauff has won the French Open after an epic 3-set victory over world number one Aryna Sabalenka. The 21-year-old American came back to win 6-7, 6-2, 6-4 on the Roland Garros clay. And it's the first time she's lifted the trophy in Paris and her second Grand Slam singles title overall. Back to the hurling, looking at some of the stats here at the half-time mark. Position-wise, Limerick not well on top, but 57% to Cork's 43%. Cork probably had a lot more shots off at 29-17, only converting 15 of those, so only nearly 50% scoring conversion rate. Scores from play, Cork 14 of their 15 scores coming all from play. Hoggy only scoring, I think, one of the three frees. Own puckouts won. Cork of 8 out of their 15 won. Limerick of 13 out of the 24. Turnovers won. Cork as well have more turnovers, so that shows a good work rate there. 21-15. Yeah, but I suppose the big stat is the wides. Cork's 9 to Limerick's 4. No word from Tommy Rooney yet. Hopefully we'll get it before the end of the show. But trainer Aidan O'Brien was speaking to Lydia Hislop on Racing TV after Lamborn's win in the Epsom Derby.
Sable companions, what did Ryan say about Delacroix?
Yeah, Ryan said he got wiped out at the start. I didn't see it, but he said he knew at the top of the hill he was in trouble. He was a long ways back. He knew that Wayne was going to be in front. So I suppose he looked up and he saw the distance he had to get to Wayne, so he probably knew it was very difficult. Colin said the same. He said at the top of the hill, he said he knew he was in trouble. Wayne was out there and he wasn't coming back. So maybe with Colin, it might be a combination of the ground, the track, the quick build up. It might have came all happened maybe a little bit too quick, maybe, but we'll see. But Colin's horse might drop back and trip, and maybe Ryan's horse might do that as well. So we'll see.
Okay, and finally, I mentioned the clean sweep of Group Ones. You've got to be very proud of that.
Ah yes, I'm so delighted for everyone, Lydia. Really, it's all the lads put in so much day in, day out, so I'm so delighted for them, and they relentlessly do it every year. Then all the people that work with the horses every day, they're the people that make it happen, and for us to be involved in working with the people for the people, it's a real privilege. So, but it's all the people that make it happen, and we feel so honoured really to be the small part that we are really.
Well, congratulations on a great team effort, well done.
Yeah, thanks Lydia.
Still no word from Tommy Rooney at the Gaelic Ground, so we'll have to move it on. I see Marty Guilfoyle is coming into the studio getting ready, so I'll hand it over to him. Dan Casey signing off here on the Big Red Bench.